Be time to start. So I'll call to order a meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. If you would please join me in honoring America and stand as we pledge allegiance to the flag.
Attention. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, one of the things that the board misses greatly is the students who come as part of our beginning program, and we certainly hope to have them back very soon. But I've encouraged the board to come up with something that each one of the board members could do, kind of an entertainment event. I haven't heard back anything yet, so we'll wait and see. And keep your fingers crossed on that, because I'm sure. That's right. Ms. Eagle actually took care of hers tonight, as she graciously baked a homemade cherry cobbler and a blackberry cobbler. Blueberry, sorry, that's the one I ate, that were actually picked on their farm in Michigan, delivered very carefully back to Oak Ridge, and they were delicious. The good news of that is, at the end of the meeting, I think there's some left with vanilla ice cream. So if you'd like to come up and help yourself, please do. On the agenda next is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear any additions or corrections? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Next on the agenda is good news. We have some good news tonight. Mr. Stevens, we'll start with you.
All right. We'll start out with Jefferson Middle School. The Domino Ensemble works to commission and premiere compositions by young artists from the Southeast region. This summer, the Domino Ensemble had the opportunity to work with Jefferson seventh grade student, Juno Morrell. Juno worked to share his compositional ideas with the ensemble, which recently turned into his piece, The Tide, for clarinet and viola. Very good. And for the second bit, all seventh and eighth grade students received stylus to assist in working on math and ELA assignments virtually. So that'll help them work those problems. So those are the leading two good news items from Jefferson. More to come.
Ms. Eagle.
Also from Jefferson, Jefferson had a visit from Mr. Clint Pulver, an inspirational speaker from the popular video, Be a Mr. Jensen. Mr. Pulver spoke to the Jefferson teachers via Zoom about making connections and finding worth and potential in every student. The main lobby at Jefferson has been transformed into the Eagle Intervention Center. This is a wonderful meeting space for our students and staff to collaborate, and that's good news.
Ms. McLean.
Okay, I have good news from Robertsville. Robertsville librarian Scott Smith is currently serving on two national committees for the American Library Association. He's on the committee for the Schneider Family Book Award. This award is sponsored by the ALA and honors an author or illustrator for a book that embodies an artistic expression of the disability experience for child and adolescent audiences. He's also serving as the chairperson for the Planning and Publicity Committee for YALSA's virtual symposium. YALSLA is the division of ALA that is devoted to services for young adults. And that's just some of the good news from Robertsville.
And that's just some of the good things that are taking place in our school district. Would like to remind principals and administrative staff, please send in anything that you would like for us to brag on. I know there's a lot of very positive things going on that we would like to share, so please do that. Would also mention the board has decided that we will not begin recognizing volunteers until January. So I know each school, particularly during the time now, are having some people volunteering to go that extra mile, and we hope to be able to recognize them starting in January. Okay, moving along, we're honored and pleased to have with us this evening Mr. Dale Lynch. He is the Executive Director of the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents. Mr. Lynch, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here with you this evening, and I'm here to brag on you. I want to say on behalf of the Superintendents Association, we represent 146 school superintendents or directors of schools. I'm here because your superintendent, your director, I'm going to save him for just a minute or two. But I want to say on behalf of the work that we do across the state of Tennessee, we know how important it is and a great job it is that superintendents and directors have, and we could not do it without your leadership. So thank you for what you do. It's very reassuring for me to come back to Oak Ridge and to see the great things. I live in East Tennessee. I have watched East Tennessee and have watched the great things happening in this school district for a long time. So thank you for your superior leadership, and you also recognize talent when you see it. And that's why I'm here tonight. I want to say on behalf of the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents, I'm going to ask your director of schools, Dr. Bruce Borchers, if you would come up here and join me for just a second. We won't get close, 6 feet away, but I want to say just a couple things about your superintendent and director. And then if you don't care in a second, you'll pose for a picture for me and I'll tweet it out a little bit, okay? I got to know Dr. Borchers when he first came to Tennessee through your all's leadership, and I have enjoyed getting to know him as a fellow superintendent, and I also have enjoyed getting to know him as a friend. In watching how superintendents and directors work with others across the state of Tennessee, you can rest assured, and I will tell you, that he is one of the finest communicators, well-versed, and well-respected among all leaders in Tennessee. So you all know, as you recognize and you pat students and administrators and teachers on the back, very few times does one get the opportunity to recognize your director of schools or your superintendent. Also, there's probably not a better award that one can receive than to be recognized by his peers. And that's what's happened here. 2021, the East Tennessee Superintendent of the Year from the region here in the East, Dr. Bruce Borchers, Oak Ridge City Schools, on behalf of the Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents. Dr. Borchers, congratulations, and we look forward to continue working with you for many, many years to come. So thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate you making the opportunity to get here. And we certainly agree with the words you said, and we as a board will do everything we possibly can to keep him in place. Okay, moving on. As you board members may remember, we approved a field trip for the Junior Navy ROTC to travel to Hawaii to participate in December in the Pearl Harbor Day Parade. Obviously, since that approval, things have changed in our world. And we're taking a look now at that trip and things surrounding what that trip may entail or may not entail. So we've asked Chief Nichols and Mr. Todd Livesey to be here with us this evening to kind of give us an update where we are at this point, what your thinking is, the hurdles that lie ahead, the problems that you're facing. So if you'll come up to the microphone, I'll turn it over to you.
I'm just here for looks. Hey, he's the looks and the brains. I'm in regular contact now with Mr. Chris Meeker. He's our point of contact with the parade committee. Last month at our booster club meeting, Mr. Lay was able to make it out there, and what I did is I got Chris on the phone. We had him on speaker. He got to hear Mr. Lay's concerns from the board and the district, and then also he got to hear some concerns from the boosters as well, or yes, our booster club. And as of right now, everything from the parade perspective, it's still moving forward. The parade is still intact. It's still a go. They're aware of, you know, of the restrictions, the quarantine that's taking place in Hawaii right now. That could change between now and then. So we've still been moving forward with everything as though it's still a go. One of the reassuring things that Chris did let us know was if things went south or whatever, that we could just roll to next year if need be, but there would be a small fee per person. Less than $100 a person to move it to next year. So we've got one payment left. September 20th is when the final payment for the entire trip for everybody to be paid off is due. We have to have our airfare paid by September 1st, and then the rest of the trip paid by October 1st. So our collection date from those that are going on the trip is typically about a week and a half ahead of what our booster club has to pay to the committee. So we're still moving, like I said, moving forward on that. We do have our hotel assignment as of right now, unless anything else changes. It's the Ohana East. In case you know you want to kind of Google it, it's got a nice view. It's a couple blocks from the beach. I know I'm heartbroken about that. You know what I'm saying? Everything is good. Good news is the airfare has changed. The trip, all flights are just now one stop, and it actually went down about $100 and some odd a ticket. So that's good news for us. So again, we're still moving forward. He did mention that last time I talked to him, Hawaii may implement something to where if anybody coming in that has a negative COVID test, it's a specific type of test, within 3 days of arriving, then you don't have to quarantine. So that's another option that's in play. So again, I know there are a lot of variables, a lot of things that are uncertain, but they're still moving forward as though everything is still a go. We're still moving forward as though everything is a go, unless anything changes here or on that end. But the light at the end of the tunnel, as Mr. Livesey and I were talking, is that we could roll to next year if need be. But the biggest concern, I think, from the boosters was, what about the seniors that have been working for 2 years fundraising and stuff like this? My opinion, again, is if they're graduating, if we don't get to go this year, that I feel personally that they should be able to go. Obviously, they can't participate in the parade, but they should still be able to go unless they're away at college or off serving in the military. You know, go as adult chaperones or just part of the tour, not part of the field trip, so to speak. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about on that one? So that's kind of where we're at. Todd, did you have anything that you wanted to?
So as the booster club, we've kind of had meetings regularly about how things are going in Hawaii, how things are getting worse, getting better, getting worse again. And I guess we really would like to go, but I guess there's that bigger picture of what's it going to be like if we get there, you know, because I don't even know. I mean, I don't know a single parade that's even happening right now. So we're cognizant of wait and watch. And I guess we just wanted to kind of come here and see what you all thought, or if you all had a hard stop right now, or if you all wanted to let it roll on a little bit further and watch things. We do have one thing that's going to be kind of big. September 1st, we have to buy the plane tickets. So that's a whole separate deal than just working through the travel agency, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then that's going to be, are they going to refund the money or what? And so that's a September 1st thing. So I guess, did we?
No.
I guess we just came here understanding you're the ruling body of the schools, and we wanted to be respectful of your all's leadership and let you all take a look at it and see what you think. Because we can roll it to next year. I think we'd rather not, but we would certainly understand and be, you know, would respect your opinion on it. Does that make sense?
What's the date of the parade?
December 7th. I think it's December 7th. The parade, the date of the parade.
No, that's November 7th. No,
the parade.
You said September.
Did you say
December 7th?
December 7th, yeah. Got me confused.
Yeah.
I remember what day of the week it is.
Yeah, December 7th. I understand Pearl Harbor Day or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. The downside of this is, you know, if the airline doesn't give us a refund on the tickets, a full refund, and we have to pay a fee, then, you know, there's that thing like Todd was saying. And also, if we do go and we get there and there's all sorts of things that are shut down, is it truly worth spending that kind of money? So it's kind of between a rock and a hard spot. So we want to go, you know, if we don't get to go, my feelings are going to be hurt, but I guess I'll just have to get over it and suck it up, buttercup, and roll with it next year, you know? So whatever you guys decide, we're at your mercy. So you tell us what you want us to do, and we'll do it.
Well, we appreciate your leadership.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, and that's the thing, is we don't want to be, even though this thing's been on the books for a while, we don't want to kind of like be hard and fast that we want to go, we want to go, we want to go, and then something happened.
The student safety is the biggest issue, obviously.
What do the kids want to do? Did you speak to the group?
Oh, they want to go.
They want to go.
The parents want to go. We really haven't had. So the reason I'm here tonight is I'm on the booster club.
He's the president.
Oh yeah, whatever. Nobody else wanted a job. So I'm the president of the booster club. So we have asked that question right along, and we actually been in communication with Dr. Borchers and Mr. Lay regularly about this, talking to it, just kind of seeing what they thought, because, you know, we just wanted to make sure everybody was included. The parents do not have a problem with it, and the kids, we've not really, I can say, I don't think I've heard one person say they're concerned about it. But that doesn't mean there's a concern, there's no mm-hmm. concern. It's just they're rolling on.
Of the 70 that had originally signed up, I think we've lost 3 due to just financial burdens that they can't afford it, you know. But everybody else is paying the money, doing the fundraising. And matter of fact, fundraising, we got a fundraiser at El Jinete tonight, 5 to 9. Just had to throw that out there, you know.
Great with cobbler.
But yeah, everybody's ready to roll.
A couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Of the 67 students that you indicated would be attending on this trip, if the trip were pushed to next year, and you mentioned those who are seniors now who obviously have paid if they're going, might want, if the circumstance allowed, to attend. What would that, if they did choose to go, what would that take your number to, do you think?
It doesn't change. It doesn't change. It just rolls forward.
So everybody now that's on the list would have the opportunity to go.
So the you know, it's set with the company. So like this so if somebody drops out, somebody's can take that place, but nobody can add.
Okay.
So it's stable.
And the 67 is students and parents, adults. So I think we've got 44, 45 students that are actually going, and then we've got adults that are going as well.
Are we looking at five seniors, six seniors, how many?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm saying seniors, five or six, seven maybe. And again, I would ask that if that be the case, that you guys would consider allowing the seniors to go, if they graduated, to be able to go as part of the trip next year. And we would just open it up to the freshmen this year, or anybody that's new to the program that may want to go next year. And we may be over 100 next year, I don't know.
But that's okay.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned some dates. Would you tell me those dates again, please?
September 1st, we have to pay the entire amount of the airfare per person. I think it's $858 now, down from $974, times 66. Because as the director, the group leader, mine is complimentary, so it'd be 66. And then October 1st, we have to have the rest of the tour paid off. Now, we've been making incremental payments to the parade committee since last year. So I don't know what the balance is. Mr. Julian, he's our booster club treasurer. He would know what the outstanding balance for just the tour part and also everything total to be paid off for the tour.
And what was I thought I heard September 20th.
That's when the last payment from the cadets, from everybody that's going, that's when they have to make their last payment in full. Because what we did is we had a $200 initial payment per person, and then we split up the remaining $4,800 into five incremental payments of $560.
So there's two different things going on. There's the payment to the
for the tickets.
Well, there's a what is it called? We got to come. So it's a touring company, right? So our touring company, that's one bill. And that's going to be September 20th. But then the plane tickets are a separate payment. So like that $90 or so that would be, you know, to schedule next year, that's with the company. The only wild card in there is the airfare. We just don't know if we pay, if they'll honor the, you know, and then we have to go out because of COVID or because it's canceled, because of COVID, if they'll honor giving the money back, which you all ran into last spring.
So, and that's my follow-up question with that. If the parade organizers cancel the parade,
that's a good
one. We're still out. You all and your students and the chaperones are still out the money they paid, or that can be pushed again until the next year?
If they cancel, then we are entitled to all of the money back, or we could roll it. We could push it to next year. If we cancel, then
it's the $90.
Yeah. So, no. If we were to cancel and not push it to next year,
yeah.
We cancel all money paid, we lose.
So we were very happy during that conversation that Mr. Lay came, was part of our conversation with Chris, that, you know, it came out eventually that if we did have to push it to next year, there would be that nominal fee,
yeah,
which we were like, that just felt really good right there, because we were really afraid it was all the money. So we do have that. Yeah. But if they cancel this year, we can either get all of our money back, or we can push it till next year for free. So it's only if we cancel that we pay that, you know, that delay fee.
And that would be a kind of the whole band trip to New York or whatever that was, that whole stink pot. Unfortunately, we've got a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel on this.
We just know what y'all went through in the spring with everything. We're trying to be careful to keep you all in on everything and what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Ms. Eagle.
Well, as probably both of you know, it was my intention to also go to Hawaii and go to the parade, since I have a daughter there who teaches. And so I've been looking at the airline policies. I know that Delta will either give a refund or give you e-credits, so basically whatever the dollar amount that you can spend later. They've been changing the date, but it's good up into sometime in 2021 at this point for the e-credits, or they can do a refund. So depending on the airline, I think most of the airlines are being sort of flexible, especially since Hawaii's rules keep changing. It was going to be August 1st, then it was going to be September 1st. Now it's October 1st to be able to go at all without a two-week quarantine. So it's a little early, I think, for us to make a decision because things are still changing.
Ms. McClain.
I had the opportunity to fly last week, and I must say that the airlines were very strict about safety procedures, and the passengers were cooperative, both on the plane and in the airports. I was comfortable, and that makes me feel better about you guys going.
Mr. Stevens.
What is Hawaii, if at all, what's the current quarantine requirements, or who are they quarantining, if anyone?
Anybody traveling in to Hawaii, it's a 14-day quarantine. I think it was last week I'd seen something, but it changed since then. And Chris Meeker had mentioned about the 3-day within 72 hours of arriving with a negative COVID test. And again, I read the guidelines on that, and it's a specific test. And that would be something that if that is in place at that time, we would need to find out exactly where we can get those tests done and have everybody tested and then have, you know, the negative things in hand. Because if you have the negative COVID test within 72 hours of arriving, you don't have to quarantine. So that's the caveat to that, I guess it is.
Okay, that was part of the question in terms of putting together the protocol or whatever to address that eventuality far enough ahead of time if you're still moving forward with that, so that you're not caught in that bind of how long or when am I going to get the results of this test, you know?
I mean, current situation, we can't go because you go there and you got to wait 14 days. It's not even that 14-day trip. So there's no way to make all that happen. So it's a no-go right now unless they change their acceptance policy.
So let me ask you this. Knowing that, are you all willing to continue on this path? You've got some specific dates that you mentioned. Are you willing to continue on this path, knowing that as time goes on, that 14-day quarantine may stay the same? It may get greater, or it might be lessened.
I think it seemed like at the last Booster Club meeting that the parents were adamant about staying on track with everything. But I think I'll have to contact Mr. Meeker again and say, hey, when's the break? When is a day that we have to say, all right, well, if this current quarantine policy is in place, that we just say it's not going to happen, we can't go because of that, and we just were able to roll to next year without any further penalties. But again, I think based on the mindset of a lot of everybody, the students and the parents, I think they're just kind of wanting to let it play out and see what happens. It may, like I said, it may get worse, it may get better.
not really sure. It'd be kind of a shame to pull the plug too soon, but there are some reservations, and Todd and I were talking about this earlier. If you guys feel, hey, because of, you know, just there's just too many variables that we just, you want to go ahead and pull the approval of it, we're good with that, because ultimately it's the safety of the students, and I know that's what you all are here for as well. So whatever you want us to do, whatever your recommendation is, we'll accept it, and we'll just adjust fire and plan for next year if need be. So.
Well, and I think we as a board appreciate that. Obviously, this is not an item to take action on tonight. It seems like, from what I hear, correct me if I'm wrong, you're comfortable going ahead to meet these dates. Our next board meeting is not until September the 21st after tonight, which means except for October 1st, you will have passed those other thresholds. And I know you understand this, but it's important, I think, to say it coming from the seat that we're in here, as you are as well, I know, the concerns that we have, one, and you alluded to the New York trip, we as a board continue to get questions, what can we do and why will the school not refund the money? Well, we couldn't do anything, and it wasn't the school's money to refund
right at
that point in time. But that's whether everybody suddenly agrees this is a great thing to do right now, when the time comes to cancel and there's money on the table that wasn't spent, sometimes people change their philosophy a little bit in the way they think. Second, as you all are, we have to be concerned about the health and safety of our students and the adults that are going. As we look at things we're having to limit here in Oak Ridge that we're not able to do, this becomes even obviously a much greater concern. We also have to consider, you know, you got to play, unfortunately, you got to play the if game.
Yep.
If you get out there and somebody gets sick and they're not able to travel back on an airplane at the time you're supposed to get back, what do we do? Mm-hmm. Or if a larger number of the group were to get sick and had to be quarantined, they've got to be quarantined somewhere, and how is that going to be paid for? And I know these are things you've probably thought about, but these are the types of questions we're going to get as a board if this trip goes forward. And I'm not saying at this point whether it should or shouldn't. What if a student goes, doesn't know they have it, they fly back on the plane, they come back to school, and they bring that back into the school building? I just wish there weren't so many ifs.
Well,
but those are things that we as a board have to be considered. I think I hear you saying you're comfortable moving on. I think I would be comfortable moving to our next board meeting and put that as an item for action and make a decision. I don't think it's fair to the students or the adults to be in a waiting game, knowing or not knowing. And yes, the sky could fall and things could be completely different in December. We just don't know that. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know about the other board members, what you think about that, but that would be my recommendation of what we do at this point.
I would even push it later. As we found with the New York trip, we bumped it a week or so because we were dealing with a much shorter time frame. But I would think that it might be more appropriate for the October board meeting, because by then we'll have a better idea what the numbers are in Hawaii and what the state of Hawaii's policy is at that standpoint.
And I don't have a problem with that. If they're willing to do that, it's their money. I hate to make decisions about somebody else's money and the travel and all that, but that's what we got to do. I wouldn't have a problem with that going to the October meeting to do that.
I think it's important, and the chairman just gave you a perfect scenario that you need to have a game plan for. Okay, you're there through no fault of your own. It goes to hell in a handbasket in terms of a couple of people now are positive, and okay, they can't go with the group. What's plan B? Looking at or considering those wild cards and having a contingency, at least some idea of how you would play that so that you're not caught cold. I hope everybody gets an opportunity to go. I think it's a wonderful trip. But you also have to realize flying across the Pacific here, and it's quite possible they can shut the door either with you there or on your way there. So you got to have some idea of what you're going to do just in case, especially when you're dealing with a student. So be prepared for those things. And like you well know, then chances are you won't have to worry about it. But just as sure as you don't plan for it, you almost guarantee Murphy is going to ride with you all the way there. So think those things through and get a couple of three really reliable folks that are there in Hawaii that you can get the straight word either at the airport, at the health department, or somewhere that can keep you straight on what Hawaii is requiring of any and all travelers.
Will do, sir. We'll keep you guys updated on what I'm getting from the parade committee as well.
Yes, please do that. And Mr. Stevens makes an excellent point. If we go to October meeting to decide yay or nay, we will ask those questions that he just alluded to, and we would expect to have answers to those things. And I would encourage you, think of every possible scenario that could occur, every possible scenario, and say, if this is what happens, you know, what are we going to do? You mentioned the flight was one stop, so where do you leave from?
We're leaving from Knoxville, which it's United. We're flying United. One flight goes from Knoxville to Houston to Honolulu. The other flight goes from Knoxville to Denver to Honolulu, and then on the way back they just cross. I mean, it's, I don't know. So.
Well, and that's, you know, I envisioned initially there would probably be, as airlines do, four or five stops starting out heading north first and then making your way back and then going. But that, at least that's a positive point right there, that there is only one stop. And, you know, one of those other ifs is, as I think Mr. Stevens mentioned this, what if the airline cancels because of increased health concerns? Just think through those things, and we'll put this on the October meeting as an item for action and be prepared to make the final decision on that time.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you all for your time, and sorry it took so long.
No, we appreciate you being here. We need to hear this. We need to know this. We need to know where you all are, what the status is, and you need to know what our concerns are as well.
Yes, sir.
That's how we'll make the best decision.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, next on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the board. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Hearing or seeing no one, we'll move on to items for action. Item A is a resolution recognizing the committee for the 65th anniversary celebration and the desegregation of the Oak Ridge schools. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Fowler, do we want to do the consent agenda first?
Pardon?
The consent agenda. We have to do
that
first.
Did I skip over that?
Yeah.
I got so excited, I was just ready to move on. Yeah, sorry. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Eagles, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Please cast your vote. Motion approves. You'd think with two computers sitting right here in front of me, I'd see that, but oh well. Now, what I just said, Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the resolution recognizing the committee for the 65th anniversary celebration of the desegregation of the Oak Ridge schools and honoring the 85 African-American students.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Webb. I'm not going to ask Ms. Weaver and Mr. McBride to come up yet, but I will in just a moment. Resolution, a resolution of the Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education recognizing the committee for the 65th anniversary celebration of the desegregation of the Oak Ridge schools and honoring the 85 African-American students. Whereas the first public school desegregation in the Southeast occurred at the direction of the Department of Energy, then the Atomic Energy Commission, Defense Nuclear Complex headquarters in Oak Ridge in September 1955, and whereas back in 1955, this public school desegregation was closely monitored by schools across the Southeast because although not the first school desegregation to occur in the nation, it was the first in the Southeast to contrast the harsh and sometimes dangerous Jim Crow segregation culture. And whereas the city of Oak Ridge and its public schools were still owned and managed by America's Defense Nuclear Complex, now known as the Department of Energy's National Security Administration, back in 1955, and whereas 85 Oak Ridge African-American students showed amazing courage and resolve as they entered the previously all-white classrooms of Oak Ridge High School and Robertsville Junior High School on Tuesday, September 6, 1955. And whereas these students experienced racial epithets on the school buildings, negative statements, stinging indignities, some fistfights, as well as the stress of having to attend classes where they were the only black students, and whereas despite the individual problems, the overall desegregation went smoothly and quietly, thanks to the great courage of the Oak Ridge 85 students, their parents, teachers, and school administrators, as well as great overall community support and wonderful civil rights leadership from the Department of Energy and the National Nuclear Security Administration. And whereas before Oak Ridge schools opened for the 1955-56 school year, Scarborough Community Church ministers, parents, teacher, and the Scarborough school staff talked with students to help prepare them for the new journey they would take and told them that nothing less than exemplary behavior would be expected. And whereas Oak Ridge 85 students became the first black students on the Oak Ridge High School athletic teams, and because of objections from other teams to playing against black players, could not play in some of the games. And whereas America has benefited on so many levels from public school desegregation as it opened the door to a whole new group of talented, creative individuals to help our country solve the important and very challenging problems in front of it, now therefore be it resolved, the Oak Ridge Board of Education recognizes and appreciates the dedication and service of the committee for the 65th anniversary of the desegregation of the Oak Ridge schools and the courage and resolve of the Oak Ridge 85 African-American students, and further that this resolution be duly recorded and spread across the minutes of the Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education on this 24th day of the month of August in the year 2020. Comments or questions from the board? Then I will entertain a, I will, we have a motion, and you may cast your vote now.
Where is it? Okay, here we go.
Motion passes unanimously. We're honored to have with us tonight Mr. Martin McBride and Ms. Rose Weaver, who are co-chairs of this 65th Anniversary Celebration Committee. I'd like to ask the two of you to come up to the mic, please. And Ms. Webb, I'd like for you, if you would, to go up and present them with this proclamation.
Thank you. On behalf of the committee, we want to thank the school board as well as the administrators for helping to kick this off, very supportive. And also the teachers and faculty have done such a tremendous job in making sure that this is really history. We probably don't feel it right now, but I think in the months to come, we're going to see Oak Ridge change as a result of this. I think the nation is going to see that Oak Ridge has a lot of historical artifacts, a lot of history, and I think you're going to even see relatives of the Oak Ridge 85 that we've been in contact. They're going to start coming back to Oak Ridge because this is history that is not in the making. This is history that's happening right now.
Thank you. I'd like to echo Rose's comments and just say from a personal point of view, the support from the community has been extraordinary. The support from the schools, despite everything you have on your plates right now, has been just outstanding. And it's very exciting for us to try to see all these enthused people and gather these ideas and help this come to fruition. So many thanks to you for your wonderful leadership on this.
Please join me in congratulating these two individuals for their leadership in making this happen. Item B is a submission of application for me to serve as president-elect of the TSBA Board of Directors. As the board knows, I'm currently serving as vice president on that board and have submitted my resume and information to move to the next step of president-elect. One missing item from that is the Board of Education has to give approval by approving this item for action as we're doing tonight, and then that will be submitted on to TSBA. So I would ask for a motion for approval.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. I appreciate that. Thank each of you. It'll be interesting to see if I serve from near or far in this position. But I'm honored. I'm honored to represent the Oak Ridge Board of Education and the Oak Ridge Schools in this position. So if you would, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Thank each of you very much. Item C, Board Policy 4.205, Enrollment in College Level Courses. This is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.205, Enrollment in College Level Courses.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Agel. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, this policy and the next policy obviously are second readings, and we did that last time. I'm going to ask Dr. Williams just to give a brief overview of that again.
Yes. 4.205 is just an update. It expands the language and better aligns with the practices we have in place, and it does take the place of 4.203.
Questions or comments from the board? Then please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item D, deletion of board policy 4.203, advanced college placement. This is also a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the deletion of board policy 4.203, advanced college placement, which is being replaced by board policy 4.205.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. Webb, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Dr. Borchers.
Just as Kelly described, this is just deleting this because of the previous policy change.
Questions or comments from the board? Then please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item E, FY21 budget transfer number one. This is also a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY21 budget transfer number one.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Agel. Dr. Borchers.
Again, second reading here, and again, realignment of some salary and benefits. Our new commander for ROTC position, as well as some disinfection for COVID on our school buses, and then other routine budget transfers.
Questions? Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item F, board policy 6.409, reporting child abuse. This is a first reading on this policy. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 6.409, reporting child abuse.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Webb, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Much of these changes obviously are due to state law, and every year there seems to be something that gets tweaked around this policy and the next couple that we're going to work with. So you'll see some changes there, bold and red in the beginning. And then one for our staff that is a bigger change than we're used to, and we'll have to redo our training. But on that first page, starting with lines 14 through 16, that had always been an option, whether it was DCS or law enforcement, but now they have said and law enforcement. So that's a different reporting process that we're going to need training on, and then we'll do that as soon as it becomes available.
Questions? Ms. McLean.
I worry a little bit about this policy because I don't want the teacher who sees the abuse to report this to the coordinator, and the teacher think the coordinator has reported it, and the coordinator think the teacher has reported it. So is there like a checks and balances or a way that we can make sure that something doesn't get dropped?
It's, you know, that's one of the first things that when we saw this new language, and it's unfortunate we couldn't have the law conference here in June, that we all would have heard more details on this. But it is one of those issues that I think is going to be a concern. We've reached out to our attorneys on different training and processes to make sure that goes smoothly. But I do think with the passage of these laws and how this happened, it does open up a few more moving parts than we've had before.
So would you anticipate having a clear understanding of that perhaps by the time we get to the second reading, or is this, you think this is the way it's going to stand?
Well, I think this is the way it will stand, but unless the legislature would go back into session and change this. So I think what we're going to have to do is make sure our practices and procedures align to this until possibly it changes next year. That's always a potential. But we've reached out to both Larry and Caitlin, who will advise us on this as soon as they can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions? Then please cast your vote on Board Policy 6.409, first reading. Motion passes unanimously. Item G is Board Policy 6.317, Student Disciplinary Hearing Authority. This is also a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.317, Student Disciplinary Hearing Authority.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
Just a few tweaks here, but nothing that really changes our process as we've been doing this for numerous years. We have to recommend the number of members that could possibly be a part of the DHA, which we only could have a maximum of five because of the board numbers that we have. And then clearly designating the Director of Pupil Services as the DHA chairperson. So, and then the others are changes that just allow us to continue to use the practices that we've been using.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item H, also first reading, Board Policy 6.304, Student Discrimination, Harassment, Bullying, Cyberbullying, and Intimidation. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.304, Student Discrimination, Harassment, Bullying, Cyberbullying, and Intimidation.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
Again, this policy kind of comes up every year. They made a few tweaks. You'll notice on the second page that they got rid of a lot of verbiage there about who could do this, who should report. So they just summarized that up very quickly. Any individual has knowledge of behavior. So they took away a lot of the caveats and names and positions and tried to just make this very clear and succinct with that one sentence.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item I, Board Policy 6.319, Alternative Education. This is also a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 6.319, Alternative Education.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Mr. Stevens. Dr. Borchers.
Yes, just a few more changes here. As you can see in lines 5 through 7 there, really calling it alternative program. For what we have here in the Oak Ridge schools. And then there were some things added I think that will be helpful on the second page, adding things like removal and what happens with additional offenses. So I think it makes this program stronger than it was before.
Comments or questions? Ms. Eagle.
Just a question. This does not in any way remove the school of choice provision.
No, that was not a part of this discussion. Yep.
Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item J, FY21 Coordinated School Health Grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY21 Coordinated School Health Grant.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
We do this every year to get these grant funds to pay for this salary. And on a side note, we've lost Shayla Sanderson, who's done a wonderful job in that role. She was stolen by the Department of Education in Tennessee. So she'll be taking a greater role down there in a similar position, but overseeing all of these in the state. So we wish her well. Her last day was last Wednesday, I believe. So we're currently searching for our new person.
Questions? Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item K, FY21 Voluntary Pre-K Grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY21 Voluntary Pre-K Grant in the amount of $460,110.64.
I've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
Again, this is something we do annually, and we're happy to receive those funds. And I know Ms. Downer just walked in and literally backing me up if there's any tough questions on the grant.
Questions? Hearing none, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item L, FY21 Preschool CACFP Food Grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY21 Preschool CACFP Food Grant.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
Again, something we do every year, and you can see from the memo there from Ms. Downer that this grant provides breakfast, lunch, and snack each day for all of our preschool students.
Questions? Then please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item M is the purchase of 2 cargo vans for food service. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the purchase of 2 cargo vans for food service in the amount of $46,286.
Nope. Oh. I thought we just did. Didn't Ms. McLean and Ms. Webb do that? Those two at the end did. Questions? Then please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we move to items for information. First is financial report. Any questions or comments? Ms. Smith, any comments that you would like to make? Okay. Moving there for items for discussion. Old business, new business, communications, there are a couple. would remind the board that on September 2nd, we'll do our first board visit to the preschool starting at 7:30 that morning. On September 15th is the fall district meeting. At this point, we have not received any indication from TSBA that that is not going to occur. It's still on the schedule. On September 16th, we'll be visiting Jefferson Middle School. This will be a little different visit for us on this Wednesday since there will be no students there, but a chance for us to interact with staff to see how they're coping and dealing with the current educational directives that we're following. We'll talk with Jefferson, but we're probably going to move that time up a little bit. It's scheduled for 7 a.m. We're going to shoot for either 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and we'll let you know for sure. Mr. McDonald, I don't really want to put you on the spot, but I guess if I didn't, I wouldn't even ask this, right? Could you kind of give us an update on what to expect for our first home football game Friday night? A brief explanation.
You can expect a great contest between the Wildcats of Oak Ridge High School and our friends from Dobbins Bennett, who will be traveling down the road. You'll see some differences in the way that we go about business. So you'll see temperature checks being taken outside of the Blankenship Field before you're allowed to enter. We're pre-selling tickets this week so that people can come by the school between 3:30 and 4:30 at our ticket window without having to come into our building. We're hoping to pre-sell as many tickets as we can to keep our lines down and the exchange of money as limited as we can do it. We've sent our friends up east 500 tickets for them to pre-sell, but we'll still be selling tickets at the gate for them as well. We're asking all of our fans and supporters to be wearing masks and to be practicing social distancing as appropriate and as much as possible. We've moved our band from the home bleachers into the D zone, so that'll be a new look this year as our band will be performing from the D zone right next to Megatron, our Jumbotron screen. So we've expanded out where our home seating will be. We are socially distancing our cheerleaders and our dance cats, so we'll kind of be running down there. And it's going to be a wonderful community event for those of you that are comfortable coming out and supporting the team. We appreciate it. And for those of you who are not, we know you're listening at home on the radio and supporting from wherever you're at. And we're currently looking at opportunities for live streaming the games as well. I don't think we're going to have that in place by Friday. We're looking at potentially starting that on September 4th with the Cougars of Campbell County.
All right. Thank you very much.
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It. I thought about putting this in good news, but then I realized there might be some people who would think this isn't good news. So I saved it for the end, and you can go whichever way you want to go. It's been unusually quiet. Ms. Eagle and I decided to run again for the Board of Education. That may be good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But the good news for the two of us is we do not have an opponent. So we will not be putting signs in your yards or calling you, asking you for money and doing all that, but we still would appreciate your vote. And I approve this message. Any other comments or questions from the board? Thank you very much for being here. Richard, thank you for doing double duty back there. Lynn, thank you as always for your assistance back there. And we stand adjourned. Don't forget cobbler.